Pursuant to House Rule 10.01, this meeting of the Housing Finance and Policy Committee will come to order. Mr. Wilcox, please take the roll.
Houseman?
Present.
Howard? Howard? Tice?
Tice here.
McBadgett?
Present.
Bliss?
Present.
Gomez? Gomez?
Present.
Thank you. Hassan? Hassan? Heinrich?
Heinrich, present.
Herr? Herr?
Present.
Thank you. Jurgens?
Jurgens, present.
Olson?
Present.
Barr?
Present.
Ryer?
Present.
Howard?
Present.
And then Hassan? All right, Madam Chair, we do have a quorum.
Thank you. Next order of business is approval of the minutes from Tuesday, April 6th. Representative Howard, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, so moved.
Representative Howard moves approval of the minutes. Is there any discussion? If not, members, unmute yourselves for a voice vote. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. And now, members, we're going to take some public testimony and from the department. We're going to start off with Commissioner Ho from Minnesota Housing. Welcome. And please officially identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jennifer Ho, and I'm the Commissioner of Minnesota Housing. It's great to be back with you today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and testify and the many opportunities that we've had to visit and work together in this committee throughout the session. We've had some really great conversations about both the short-term housing needs associated with what's going on with the pandemic and the economy, but also the long-term housing needs that existed before COVID and what we need to do in the years to come. You know, my slogan is go big so that everyone can go home. And this bill really represents go big. It's a big step forward with a $30 million investment accompanied with really strong policy language related to housing issues. With only a few exceptions, the House bill funds the governor's and lieutenant governor's budget recommendations for Minnesota housing. And in most cases, the House's funding level goes bigger than the governor's budget recommendations. And we do not take offense. I think the House bill makes significant investments in increasing housing stability, in building more homes, in increasing and strengthening home ownership, and in preserving the homes that we have, all priorities in the agency's strategic plan. So in addition to these significant investments, important investments, needed investments, this also has significant housing policy reforms around evictions expungement and the 14-day pre-eviction filing requirements that were also proposals from the governor's office. I also have enormous gratitude that the bill also includes my agency's policy and technical language that impact a number of our programs. As we administer our programs and work with our partners, there are issues that periodically come up, and it's important that we continue to make changes to improve access, provide clarity to existing programs, and expand program eligibility where we can in order to address the high levels of need, but also the high levels of funding that we are deploying across the state. So the language that's included in this bill will help our programs work better for Minnesota. As the process continues, my staff is available to you, Ryan and Lael in particular, to provide technical advice and recommendations, particularly as it relates to the new programs that are included in the House bill for naturally occurring affordable housing, local housing trust funds, and a lead safe program. And I guess want to congratulate you on such a strong bill, and I really don't have any need to go on, but happy to take any questions if you have them.
Thank you for your testimony and for being with us. And we're joined now by Ann Mavity, Minnesota Housing Partnership. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair Hausman and committee members. My name again is Ann Mavity. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Housing Partnership, and I've come before you several times this session already, and I appreciate the opportunity to share MHP's thoughts on this bill. And seeing the long list of testifiers today, I will try and start us off by modeling the two-minute timeframe behavior requested. So first of all, thank you so much for this committee's work and for fighting for a significant funding increase for the important work of Minnesota Housing. And thank you for working together with Homes for All and other housing advocates on how to allocate this spending. Couple things I wanted to highlight. One is the Local Housing Trust Fund state match. It is so important this session. Right now, local governments will be receiving additional funding through federal emergency relief legislation and funding, and it provides an enormous opportunity to help local and incent local governments to create their own local housing trust funds as well. So thank you for that. I also want to talk about NOAA, creating a strategy and explicit investment in preserving affordable housing has long been needed. MHP has documented this through our Market Watch series that analyzes NOAA properties and property sales throughout Minnesota. So thank you for recognizing this important gap that we've had, and it's a great start. I did want to note, we continue to need dedicated revenue for housing. Housing production takes years. It depends on reliable and predictable funding to create this robust pipeline of projects. So dedicated funding continues to be a need. I appreciate and thank Representative Howard for continuing to draw attention to this issue and continuing to press that in the future. It's a long-term strategy. I'll just note a couple things then on the policy work. As the commissioner said, there are real changes in these policy proposals that you have included that will have a real impact on creating more opportunities, more access, more equity in our state's housing resources and outcomes. That includes adding tribal communities to be eligible grant recipients under the capacity building grants. It's the eviction expungement and 14-day pre-eviction requirements, manufactured home park opportunity to purchase, all of these and more. Thank you so much. So House leadership early on indicated housing was a priority by just creating this committee, and I hope that together we can continue to keep housing on the priority list for leadership in the weeks to come. So thank you so much for the opportunity, and we remain a resource to you as you continue your work.
Thank you for your testimony. We're joined now by Sue Kesterman from Churches United, and she is with the Homes for All Coalition. Welcome. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Sue Kesterman, and I serve as Chief Executive Officer of Churches United for the Homeless in Moorhead, Minnesota. I also serve as Homes for All co-chair. Chair Hausman and committee members, good morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you today and to provide testimony. Thank you also to your commitment to housing needs in our state. I'm here today to speak in support of the proposed Housing Committee's finance and policy bill. This bill would do a number of things that align with the Homes for All Coalition's legislative agenda to protect the rights of shelter guests, advance equity, support wealth building opportunities, and build and preserve homes. This bill would establish an official task force to examine how to make our shelter system more dignified. The legislation that was sparked by this conversation was led by people who have utilized the shelter systems themselves and have brought their lived expertise to the conversation about how to improve the ways in which we provide shelter. This bill would also enact game-changing legislation aimed at protecting rights and advancing equity for Minnesota renters. This includes policy changes to not only better meet the needs of renters, but also stabilize thousands of renter households by reforming the evictions process. Finally, this bill supports funding increases that can make a difference along the entire continuum of affordable housing. I'd specifically like to highlight two items on our full agenda. One-time and ongoing investments in homeownership can create opportunities for income-ready households, many who are likely to be first-time BIPOC homeowners, and increases to support the Bridges program to help with transitional housing for people with serious mental illness. As you've heard throughout the past few months in testimony by coalition members and those with lived expertise, these policy changes and funding increases will truly make a difference. However, we know in order to achieve these policy and funding changes, we need to continue to have effective conversations with all of you, senators and key stakeholders. We are committed to this work because we know that the needs are so great, and because we know that where we live impacts everything else about our lives. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you for being with us and for your testimony. And we are joined now by Sue Watlaw Phillips, the Metropolitan Interfaith Council on Affordable Housing. You know it as MICA. Welcome. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify this morning. I'm Sue Watlaw Phillips. I'm the Executive Director of MICA, the Metropolitan Interfaith Council on Affordable Housing, and President of the National Coalition for the Homeless. I also experienced homelessness as a teenager in the early 1970s. I praise God and thank you for listening to the cries and concerns of people experiencing homelessness and people in housing crises about the inequities in our housing and homeless systems. Thank you for including their solutions in this omnibus bill. I'd like to briefly highlight two of the many excellent bills that MICA's had the opportunity to and honor to support with Homes for All in this omnibus bill. First is the Lead Safe Home Bill. You heard it earlier this session, and you heard from Tysia Fletcher via video. She's an African-American mom with two children. Both of her children were poisoned by lead paint. Dustin, her son, became permanently disabled. You have honored Dustin and his family by funding the Lead Safe Home Bills, also known as the Dustin Luke Shield Act. They assisted in writing this bill to prevent the other more than 700 children that are poisoned every year by lead here in Minnesota. The Minnesota Department of Health estimates one of every three homes in Minnesota has lead paint, and then one in 100 children have elevated lead levels, primarily due to lead paint. This bill will pay for itself each year if we can prevent just 10 children from becoming disabled by lead paint. The second, as was Pastor Sue just mentioned, you heard from Tyra Thomas from Street Voices of Change, who have worked for 3 years along with Freedom from the Streets in developing, expressing their concerns about the shelter system and developing the Shelter Residents Bill of Rights. In this bill that you are funding, a task force brings together people experiencing homelessness, the Minnesota Interagency, providers, and others to begin to address their concerns. Again, thank you. By listening and acting, together with God's blessing and guidance, we will prevent and end homelessness and ensure everyone, without exception, has a safe, decent, accessible home that's affordable for them. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us and for your testimony. And we're joined now by Mike Draw from Homeline. Welcome, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Michael Draw. I'm the managing attorney at Hotline Director at Homeline, a statewide tenant advocacy organization. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in favor of House File 1077. I want to touch on five parts of this bill, specifically covering residential housing policy. First, there's a power imbalance between tenants and landlords. Landlords write the leases with their interests in mind. It is necessary for laws to address this imbalance by providing tenants some protections, just as a lease does for landlords. Second, Minnesota is behind the times and other states. For instance, Minnesota is one of only seven states that does not require that a landlord formally notify a tenant before filing an eviction. This bill helps create balance. A pre-filing notice would be required 14 days before an eviction can be brought in court, providing tenants notice and time to fix the problem, negotiate an agreement with the landlord, or vacate the apartment unit, making eviction filing unnecessary. Third, a tenant's rental history should not follow them forever. Specifically, an eviction action is currently a multi-year bar from housing. This legislation prohibits eviction reporting until a court judgment is rendered in favor of the landlord, and it also expunges evictions after 3 years. Fourth, leases have changed. 20 years ago, most Minnesota leases were 2 pages long. Now, we regularly see 50-page leases. As times and leases have evolved, so must state law to protect the interest of tenants. A longer lease is designed to protect landlords. This legislation adds tenant protections with respect to improper fees, a statewide heat code, and a more complete listing of emergency repairs. Last, a renter's apartment is their home. Renters deserve privacy. Currently, the state law vaguely says that a landlord must provide reasonable notice before entering a tenant's home. This bill includes language that lays out a sensible and understandable notice period, 24 hours. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you for your testimony. And we are now joined by Kyle Byrne from the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association. Welcome, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kyle Burnt. I am the Director of Public Policy with the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association, known as MHA. MHA is an industry nonprofit made up of 1,800 members representing over 400,000 housing units in Minnesota. I would like to thank the Chair for including House File 566, the Support and Service Animal Accommodation Bill in the omnibus. It is an important bill supported by stakeholders. One item we would like to note is the failure to include an eviction moratorium off-ramp. MHA has been advocating for a reasonable, timely, and effective off-ramp of Executive Order 20-79. In the interest of time, we have sent a memo to the committee staff with our detailed concerns for sections included under Article 6 of the DE Amendment. Overall, MHA is opposed to this bill as amended. Thank you for allowing me the time to testify today. I will stay on if there are any questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony. I will just mention, members, you may remember we did have a hearing on the off-ramp and passed that bill separately. So that bill is already in Ways and Means and waiting for further action. We are joined now by Charlie Vanderard from the Association of Metropolitan Municipalities. Yes, you're there. Welcome. Please identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Charlie Vanderetti for Metro Cities.
I don't know if you can position yourself a little closer to the microphone.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Charlie Vanderetti for Metro Cities, which represents the interests of cities across the metropolitan region, the legislature, executive branch, and the Metropolitan Council. Thanks for the opportunity to share some several comments with you this morning. Cities recognize the state is an essential partner to meet the housing needs of their residents. This includes state support for building new homes to serve a growing population, state support for keeping existing homes safe and viable, and state support for providing stable housing and keeping people housed. This bill makes targeted investments toward those needs. While local governments have an important and limited role to play in housing, the programs funded in this omnibus bill allow cities to plan for and respond to current housing needs while also allowing cities to make the local decisions that are best made at the local city level. We'd like to thank Representative Olson and the committee for its strong strategic investments in the Challenge Program, which is one of Minnesota's most flexible housing funds. We also thank the committee for its investments in helping Minnesota address homeownership disparities and your investments in local housing trust funds, Representative Howard's initiative that amplifies local funds that are tailored to meet local needs. Metro Cities looks forward to working with the committee as the budget moves forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for your testimony and for being with us. And we are joined now by Greta Goetz, the Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Greta Gates, and I am the Policy and Advocacy Manager at Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity. Thank you, Chair Houseman and members of the committee. I am testifying today on behalf of both Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity and the Minnesota Homeownership Center in support of House File 1077. Twin Cities Habitat and the Homeownership Center are particularly grateful to see increases to the Challenge Program, the cap amount for the Rehab Loan Program, and homeownership education, counseling, and training. Challenge, the RLP, and HECAT represent key opportunities to invest in affordable homeownership. Along with our coalition partners in Homeownership Minnesota, we fully support efforts to create and preserve more affordable homes across the state and prepare more families for successful long-term homeownership. We are thankful for the committee's attention to these priority programs and for your commitment to investing in housing solutions that close wealth disparities and narrow the racial homeownership gap. Thank you so much.
Thank you. But everyone is really staying within these time limits. We are just moving right along. Thank you, Ms. Gates, for your testimony. And we're joined now by Jeff Washburn, City of Lakes Community Land Trust. Welcome, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Houseman and committee members. My name is Jeff Washburn. I'm the Executive Director of the City of Lakes Community Land Trust in Minneapolis. We are a community land trust that serves the city of Minneapolis, and over the life of our organization have assisted over 435 low-income households achieve long-term affordable home ownership in the city. On average, median income served is 51%, and over 56% of the households we serve are households of color. We are also a member of the Home Ownership Minnesota Coalition, a coalition of Habitat for Humanities, Community Land Trust, nonprofit developers, Home Ownership Center, and manufactured housing providers here in the state of Minnesota. Thank you for growing the funding for affordable home ownership in House File 1077. The funds in this bill will hopefully be augmented by pushes in the tax bill as well as pushes in the bonding bill to grow the total amount of funding that would allow us to increase affordable housing, affordable home ownership funding here in the state for providers across the state. I know this may feel like an extraordinary push, but the reality is 4.2% of Minnesota Housing's annual awards have gone to home ownership on average over the last 9 years. And that amount has ranged from 7 to 14 million. So you can see that augmenting this funding would really make a significant difference and essentially allow us to grow the number of newly produced affordable home ownership homes from approximately 100 a year now to closer to 500, really doubling to tripling the amount of affordable home ownership production here in the state. This positive direction is greatly appreciated and needed more than ever. As I shared in a previous testimony to this committee, the home ownership rate, the home ownership gap disparities between whites and households of color is worse today than it was 40 years ago. Members of home serve households of color at rates of 6 times that of their local service areas on average. We know that we can make a dent. We can start to make movement on this huge disparity that exists in the state. Lastly, as an example of what we're seeing, and I think this is mirrored across the state at this point in time, we're seeing more production despite COVID than we ever have in the past. And an example of that is we just listed and sold a home for our organization where there were over 17 qualified low-income mortgage-approved buyers all buying for one of our homes. And it just speaks to kind of this pent-up demand and desire for greater stability in the households that we serve. The dollars that were awarded to our organization just recently have already been allocated for, and I think that this pressure is going to continue to be there. And as we've shared in previous testimony, by creating an opportunity for somebody to move out of an affordable rental situation into affordable home ownership, we're freeing up that affordable rental space. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. And for members of the public who might be listening, as Mr. Washburn pointed out, we have 3 bills that we have to hope pass, and because all 3 are helpful to our housing crisis. This is one of the bills. Capital investment bill is the other one. And as he mentioned, the tax bill also, we hope will have a couple of items that help the whole housing crisis. So we're watching all 3 of those. Thank you, Mr. Washburn. And we're joined now by Victoria Clark from North Country Cooperative Foundation. Welcome, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and thank you for this opportunity to express my support of this omnibus bill. My name is Victoria Clark. I'm the Executive Director at North Country Cooperative Foundation. Like others testifying today, I am not a stranger to this committee. I've testified numerous times, so I will keep my remarks brief. This is really a thank you to all the members of this committee for taking such a strong stance in support of manufactured homeowners in this bill. Mr. Washburn, we're also members of the Homeownership Minnesota Coalition. And this bill really takes a strong stance in support of homeownership in general and for manufactured homeowners specifically. As I've shared in previous testimony to this committee, there are really two primary sets of challenges for manufactured home communities in this state. One set of challenges relates to the privately owned infrastructure systems that these communities have as part of the ownership structure, where a private entity owns the land and the roads, water, sewer, and infrastructure, and individuals own their individual manufactured homes. The other set of challenges relates to the single family finance and the individual resources that are available to manufactured homeowners for their individual units. This bill addresses both sets of challenges. The bill addresses infrastructure issues in manufactured home communities by appropriating an additional $1 million to the Manufactured Home Park Infrastructure Fund. As I've mentioned previously, this fund in its inaugural round of RFP from the agency last fall was oversubscribed. Every dollar that's put into this fund goes to work quickly to improve the living conditions of folks living in manufactured home communities across the state. And this is really the linchpin of preserving these communities, is providing this reliable set of funding, source of funding to improve the private infrastructure in these communities. This bill also addresses the chronic challenges related to manufactured home financing. Number one, through the expansion of the rehab loan program to include replacement of manufactured homes that are not good candidates for rehab, to allow for folks to leverage that program to purchase a new manufactured home. So that's a major win, and thank you for that. And also improves the single family finance space through the creation of a pathway to real estate titling for manufactured homeowners who live and have a membership in a resident-owned cooperative or nonprofit corporation that owns the land underneath their home. We are very excited to partner with Minnesota Housing and other partners to leverage this real estate titling change to improve the financing options for the low-income manufactured homeowners that we serve. This is gonna really go a long way. I can't overstate it. And Minnesota is really leading the way nationally by passing this type of legislation and championing this type of real estate titling reform. There's only one other state in the country that has an option for folks that live in a resident-owned community to title their home as real property, and that's New Hampshire. So we're really leading the way, very proud of Minnesota and this committee. And as the session progresses, please continue to call on us as technical experts and to advise as we advance this collective effort to preserve these valuable, affordable ownership communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. As I'm struck, as each of you testify, the needs are so great, and the dollar amounts we have, in fact, go all over the state. And so though we're making some progress, we still have a long ways to go. And now we're joined by Dave Anderson, All Parks Alliance for Change. Welcome, and please identify yourself for the record. Either you're on mute or you don't have your microphone on.
Hello?
Yes, now you're there.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Dave Anderson. I'm Executive Director of All Parks Alliance for Change, which is a statewide association representing Minnesota's 180,000 manufactured home park residents. Our organization is led by a board of directors comprised entirely of manufactured homeowners. I want to thank the committee for supporting manufactured housing in a number of ways in House File 1077, including continuing and increasing funding for the Manufactured Home Park Infrastructure Grant Program, increasing the amount of manufactured homes under the Rehabilitation Loan Program, and allowing those funds to be used for home replacement. In particular, I want to thank you for inclusion of a resident opportunity to purchase. It is a very simple proposal, but one that's very important to the residents. It requires a park owner provide notice to homeowners of a potential sale. It replaces a current notice requirement that only applies if a park is officially listed for sale with a real estate broker or through public advertising. And this kind of formal listing rarely occurs. The bill does not require the park owner to sell the land to the residents to lower their price. It doesn't prevent the park owner from seeking other offers or selling multiple communities at the same time. It simply provides residents with an opportunity to make an offer. The park owner still has the exclusive right to determine what properties they want to sell and who they want to sell them to. However, without residents receiving notice, parks in Minnesota are being rapidly gobbled up by out-of-state buyers. In the last 5 years, 18% of manufactured home park lots have changed hands, and 55% of the sales were to out-of-state buyers. Last year, 70% of sales were to out-of-state buyers. Who owns these communities has an impact. 10 of the 10 parks with the highest lot rents in the Twin Cities are all owned by out-of-state buyers. This notice requirement has worked smoothly in at least six other states, including New Hampshire, which has had it for over 30 years. The proposal has bipartisan support, with Senator Karen Housley carrying the proposal in the Senate, and it has been endorsed by the Homes for All Coalition, which has over 270 member organizations statewide. So thank you again for your support of manufactured housing. Thank you, Chair Hausman.
Thank you all for your testimony, and I'm now going to hand the gavel over to Representative Howard for the official motions of the omnibus bill. Chair Howard, you have the floor.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. Would you like to move your bill before the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move that House File 1077 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
House File 1077 is now before the committee. Representative Hausman, would you like to move the DE1 amendment, the House Omnibus Bill?
Mr. Chair, I move the DE1 amendment.
Members, the DE1 is now before the committee, and we will now consider amendments to the DE. And the first amendment we will consider is the author's amendment, the A1. Representative Hausman, would you like to move the A1?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A1 amendment. Members, this was explained by nonpartisan staff yesterday. The bill was explained and this author's amendment. You've had an opportunity to see that, so I move the A1 amendment.
And members, are there any questions about the A1? We'll just give it a second. If not, we should be able to move this via a voice vote, so it asks folks to unmute themselves. All those in favor of the A1, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. The next amendment we'll consider is the A3 amendment, and I believe Representative Egbaje is going to move the A3 amendment. Representative Egbaje.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The purpose of this A3 amendment is to clarify the amount of time between a summons for an eviction proceeding and the first date of a court appearance. So the language currently in the DE is imprecise in that it allows a range between 7 to 14 days. The current law is at 7 days, which means that there will likely not be a change in the proceeding if the DE language is to stand. By clarifying that an appearance is no less than 14 days after the summons, it provides the appropriate notice and time for all parties to prepare for their first appearance. The purpose of the section of the bill is to provide clarity in the eviction law for both landlords and tenants to know how to proceed and also to find time to allow for mediation outside of using court resources. So I ask the committee to support the amendment to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure she stated a motion.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. Representative Egbaje, could you move your amendment to A3?
Yes, I move the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The amendment is before us. Members, are there any questions? Give it a second. I do not see any questions. With no roll call being requested, we will move the A3 via a voice vote. So I'd ask members to unmute themselves. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The A3 is adopted. Next, we'll consider the A4 amendment. And I believe Representative Herr is going to offer the A4. Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A4 amendment. This would require leases to prorate rents if the lease ends before the end of the month and also creates a timeline for renewal of leases if a lease is at least 10 months A landlord may not require a renewal of the lease until at least 4 months have passed since the tenant occupied the unit. It is a simple measure that would help students renters across the state. I stand for questions and would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Herr. The A4 is before us. Are there any questions or discussion from members? I'll just give it a second. Not seeing any, we can move to a vote. If members would unmute themselves, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The A4 is adopted. Members, that concludes our amendments. So we now have the amended DE1 before us. So we'll move to final discussion amongst members on the DE1 amendment. Maybe first I'll turn it to Representative Hausman for any comments, and then open it up for members to make comments or ask questions.
Well, I'm just very grateful to the committee and to all the testifiers. There is huge effort around the housing crisis and so much to be done across the entire continuum of housing needs. And you've heard that reflected in the testifiers today, from rental issues to homeownership issues, and even that those emergency shelter issues. The amendment that was just added, you all this morning, I believe, received an email from a University of Minnesota student who described a really expensive situation that college students all over the state sometimes face as they deal with the issues of their housing. So across the spectrum, there's a lot of work reflected in this. I want to specifically acknowledge the work of Homes for All, which for a number of years now has continued to organize people around the state. So over 270 groups around the state, and they've been wonderful partners in shaping the bill as well. So very grateful for that.
Members, are there any other members who would like to speak or ask a question? I'll just give it a second. While members are thinking, I'll just add a few comments of my own and start with some gratitude for our chair, Representative Hausman, for leading so collaboratively with this committee and with the Minnesotans that testified before this committee. I think we did a great job raising up the issues, the complex, significant challenges that Minnesotans all across the state are facing related to accessing housing. And as we know, and as this committee has discussed, the ability to afford a quality home is foundational. So much starts with that ability, that security of having your home. And this bill takes strong steps to address those concerns. And I really appreciate that we're not only investing in tried and true programs that we know are making a difference, but investing in new initiatives and new ideas, because we know that thinking outside the box and doing things differently is going to be necessary to meet the needs of our affordable housing crisis. In particular, in terms of NOAA housing, I'm very grateful that for the first time, the Minnesota House is going to take action to preserve naturally occurring affordable housing. And on that note, I did want to call out some written testimony that Ms. Linda Soderstrom sent some members of the committee. Members might recall she's testified before about the need to address NOAA housing. And she wrote us, she said, "I'm a retired senior with disabilities. My primary observation after being displaced twice in 24 months is that those in greatest need are at greatest risk, and we are not being fully included in our big picture planning. We need to change the culture which allows for this gap to continue unmitigated." And members, I really think that we are taking some steps together to change the culture and to raise up the issue and make quality investments in housing. And then the last comment I wanted to make is that while we are making strong investments, I really feel that this is not the time for us to pat ourselves on the back and sit down. We are making steps forward, but I would submit that we are still miles behind what we need to be doing to address our affordable housing crisis in Minnesota. So rather than pat ourselves on the back and sit down, hopefully this is an opportunity to actually pick up our stride and keep running and keep working because we have so much to do in this space. So grateful for the work together on this bill. And while I talked on, I was hoping we'd get a few more members that wanted to speak. I see Representative Tama Tice would like to speak. And so Representative Tice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I wanna thank everybody for all the hard work that happens within this bill, because I think it's very important and it's time to make a statement that this is a priority for the state. And I think we have the opportunity to do that with this. There are so many things in here that I do like. For me, it's always the homework starts at home. That is such a big thing. And I really appreciate seeing that, because there is so much that happens with our kids and education, and it is within a home. And I love that we have that part here. Again, there are so many things I do like, and I appreciate. I like the language for the service dogs, because that is something that is not included. And it is a good thing to have, because we run into, we have a lot of dogs, but we also have wood floors. And so it makes a difference in, you know, what's going on. But having a service dog would be something that we would wholeheartedly work with everybody to make sure that it's a good fit. There are some things in here that I don't like too. There are a lot of policy things that I think are really gonna be discouraging to a lot of our housing providers. I do wish we would have had a stronger hold on the eviction and the off-ramp, because when I look at some of the data, it doesn't look like it's as bad as what we had anticipated. I'm not seeing, I check with mortgages quite a bit too and see if we're gonna hit a lot of foreclosures like we did in 2010 and on. And we're not seeing that, which is good. I think a lot of the monies that we had really did help, but I do think that we need to start looking sooner than later on some of the evictions so that we can get some of those things corrected and basically just make sure that we're making housing available always. And I want it to be affordable. I don't want it to be something that landlords are going to say, you know, we didn't make it. We can't do it anymore. So for me, that's always one of the biggest things that I look at. And I do see some things within here that I'm wishing that we would have had some different language. I really think it probably discourages dialogue between the two. And of course, that's what I've been advocating all year. We need to really have a dialogue. And I know there are programs out there. There are people that are getting that message out there, but I think that's one of our bigger messages. And I'd also hope that next year too, we can start looking at some of the reasons why housing is so expensive in Minnesota compared to our surrounding states. We've really got to take a look at this and really fight some of these things and make sure that what goes in place as far as codes and such are something that fits in with affordable housing. So I look forward to work next year, and I won't be supporting the bill today because of those policies. I think they really are going to be hard on our folks. I've heard from a lot of landlords that say, I don't know how we're gonna go forward. It's something we have to work through. And, you know, thanks a lot for everybody's hard work. Thank you, Representative and Chair Hausman. Thank you, Representative. Howard, I think that we've got a great start, but we still have a lot of work to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tice. Next, we have Representative Heinrich.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Madam Chair Hausman, as well. I just want to echo, I guess, some of the things, just take an opportunity to just mention a few things. And you know, Representative Tice laid out voiced some of the concerns that I had, but wanted to point out a couple other things with the bill. You know, I do have some concerns with kind of the eviction record expungement and the latitude of the courts there. I think, you know, that can have an unintended consequence of, you know, it seems like a lot of ways we're taking away some of the tools that help landlords ensure safe and quality housing. You know, landlords, especially in a multi-unit tenant housing situation, owe that to their other tenants and have the responsibility to make sure that new tenants are well vetted. And so that language kind of concerns me around that eviction record expungement. I think that we should be looking at ways to continue to make sure that landlords have all the necessary and appropriate tools to make sure that they can provide that safe and quality housing. And then my second point is just, you know, the opportunity to purchase language in regards to manufactured home communities. I don't feel that this does anything to really create more homes in Minnesota. It only serves to really help redistribute wealth. And it's kind of, it's a taking of the ability for the owner of a property to efficiently sell their property to a prospective buyer. I don't think that this would have the intended purposes. I appreciate the reasons for bringing this bill forward, and I appreciate the testimony today on both sides of that issue. But those are really my two concerns, Mr. Chair. And so I just thank you for the time to kind of air those out a little bit. And thanks to Chair Houseman as well. Thank you.
Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee. It's been such an honor and a pleasure to be part of this committee because of the ability and the knowledge and the dedication of everybody, regardless of our side of the aisle. So it's been, I really appreciate the collaborative experience, and a shout out to the amazing staff, nonpartisan, committee administration. Everyone has been equally committed and helpful. And I'm really proud of the work that we've done and what we've developed together. I see our bill as representing the full community continuum of need, from people who are unhoused to people who are trying to remain stable in their rental to people moving into home ownership. I see it as a bill that helps us statewide with the needs that we have in urban, suburban, and rural communities, because none of us, no matter where we are immune from the challenges of not having enough housing for the people who live in our communities. I see it as addressing both the supply side and needing to construct or maintain NOAA, have more housing units, as well as affordability, where existing units simply are not achievable for people. So we've got that side covered as well. And then finally, we are leaning into the equity challenges and the disparities that we face in a way that I think brings us progress, because when you shine a light on those issues, then you can move forward. I have personally appreciated the policy pieces as well, addressing the power imbalances that are inherent in a landlord-tenant relationship. I've had many landlords over my life, and most of them have been good. I have a landlord right now, I'm a renter, and they're excellent. And I have needed to be protected from predatory landlords, and those weren't there. So while they're the minority, I think that making sure that all the good landlords don't have their reputations sullied by the acts of a few, that's what legislation is for. So I appreciate the policies we've put in play, or that we're seeking to put in place. So I'll just close by saying we're doing a great job of addressing the needs of people as they are. For example, the Bridges Program, providing housing and stability for people who are low income with mental illness. And we're taking a great step in doing all of the pieces that we should. Not enough, as has been noted, but a good step forward, and one that we can commit to building on in future sessions, so that this is a continuum and building blocks, so the communities, the landlords, the builders, and most importantly, the people can all count on our commitment to a good housing situation for Minnesotans. So thanks all.
Thank you, Representative Breyer. And so now I don't see any other hands. So what we first need to do is adopt the DE1 amendment. And then we'll move to a final passage where we'll take a roll call. So please unmute yourselves and members, all those in favor of the E1, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The amendment is, or the DE1 as amendment is adopted. And so members, we now have House File 1077 as amended before us. Representative Hausman, any closing statements on the bill before we move to a vote?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and you did so well before. I'll just recapture your words because you summarized, I think, so many of the so much of the work of the committee and so many of the issues and agendas that we have struggled with together. I might just say one word about an unfinished agenda that I intend to work on in the interim. And that is the issue of mediation. There are a group of people in the state who really believe if we had a well-funded system of mediation early in the process, as both Representative Heinrich and Representative Tice have pointed out those tension points, is it possible through mediation to get to a better outcome for both landlords and renters? So that's a sort of an unfinished piece, I think. Would you like me to renew my motion?
Yes, Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 1077, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Members, for the record, before we vote on the final bill, House nonpartisan staff is directed to make any technical corrections as needed to House File 1077. Mr. Wilcox, please take the roll.
Howard?
Aye.
Hausman?
Aye.
Tice? Tice? Egbadje?
Aye.
Bliss?
No.
Gomez?
Aye.
Hassan?
Aye.
Heinrich?
No.
Herr?
Aye.
Juergens?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Barr?
No.
Ryer?
Aye.
And Tice?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, that is 8 ayes and 5 nays.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. And with that, our omnibus bill is on its way. And members, this concludes the official action taken by this committee this year. I just want to thank every member of this committee for the work that we've done together, the conversations we've had on this such important issue. Most of all, though, I want to thank our committee staff, our CA, Mr. Worth, and our committee legislative assistant, Mr. Wilcox, as well as all of our nonpartisan staff, our House public information staff that has helped us really conduct efficient, effective work in this crazy session amidst COVID. I feel a deep sense of gratitude to all of the staff and members that helped make this possible. And so we have a couple minutes left. I would virtually hand the gavel over to close the meeting to our fearless leader, Representative Hausman, to see if she wanted to make any final comments before we close our work on this committee.
Well, I think that one can never say thank you enough, and you've identified all of the staff from partisan to nonpartisan staff who prepare us for all of the work that is done. It's been a unique legislative session, to say the least, but somehow we managed to get here productively, and that's because of the work of all the members and all the staff together. And I don't know, did we thank House Public Information for their effort to make sure our work can be viewed by the public? Because this has, the public has been really such a significant part of this as well. The advocacy on housing all around the state is just huge, from Homes for All, Micah, Isaiah, and so many organized groups and so many individuals who understand, who see the problem. Looks like Representative Tice would like to have a closing word also. Representative Tice. You are muted.
Thank you, Madam Chair, but that's not why I'm asking. I still have a housing meeting in my schedule for tomorrow. Are we meeting tomorrow?
No, we will not have to meet because we assume there might be more time on amendments and debate, so but now we won't need to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thanks to everyone. Thanks for everybody who is so involved with housing. It just makes my heart warm knowing that we care so much. It really is truly something we have to do better on. So thanks again.
Representative Howard.
I just realized we missed a few thank yous that are really important. Our partisan and nonpartisan research staff who've done such amazing work. Jennifer Nelson for the DFL caucus, I believe Harry Miracle from the GOP caucus as well. All of our nonpartisan research staff, we couldn't have done this without you either.
And I specifically want to name, because of all their work yesterday that got us to this point, Ken Savory, Mary Mullen, Chelsea Griffin, who just talked us through all the pieces of the bill yesterday so carefully and clearly and got us ready for today and probably facilitated a faster process today as we got to full. So you've handed the gavel back, but I believe you did announce that the bill passed, right?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So our next meeting will be at the call of the chair. There being no other business before us, we are adjourned.